John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and John chapter 19 and verse 33 and verse 34. John chapter 19, verse 33 and 34. And this right here is speaking about when Jesus was on the cross and when he was crucified. But not only that, it says in verse 33, it says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Father, for the reading of thy word this morning. And Father, we thank you for each one that has made thyself present this morning. And Father, I believe that they come this morning to hear something from heaven. So, Lord, we are just asking, God, that your words would drop from heaven upon my lips this morning. And, Father, that they may hear something from heaven. And, Father, not only them, but I also. And, Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And, Father, thank you for our health, our strength. And thank you for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. There's a message right here. It's a confound message right here in verse 34. It says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thy blood and water. But one of the soldiers. This one soldier right here was part of the same group of soldiers that had took Jesus and was behind him and in front of him also and leading him up to Golgotha's hill. And as he was going up to that hill there that day, and he had on his shoulders that day the sin of the world. He had my sin and he had your sin upon his shoulders that day, and he was carrying them. And he also said, Paul also says too, that he crucifies himself daily. The reason Paul said that is because the Lord, he wants to be all what he can be for the Lord. And not only did Paul say that he wanted to be crucified daily, but he also wanted to be content in what he was doing and what he was doing for the Lord. And this soldier right here was following God's command. You say, well, how can a soldier and how could these soldiers right here be following God's command when they put him to death? The only thing that these soldiers done, and the only thing that they did do, is they just took him and brought him out of the city, and they nailed him to their cross. They put the cross upon his shoulders, and he carried the cross all the way to the top of Golgotha's hill. And when he was there, he laid the cross down. And it doesn't say, but I'm just going back and kind of thinking about what Jesus said in other places. But Jesus says, I will lay down my life. I will lay my life down for you. And I will lay my life down for all of humanity. And I believe that he got down and he laid back on the cross. And he allowed the soldiers there to take their nails. And it took their nails and went like that on his hand, on his wrist. Right here. It wasn't in his palm of his hand, but it was in his wrist right there, in between the two bones right there. And the reason for that was is so that there was stretch. Because see, if it put it there, then what it would stretch, he would just stretch his hand and eventually he would just fall and he would fall over. That's the reason they put it there, because that right there would just stretch his body. He would be hanging there, and he would be hanging there between heaven and hell. And he was hanging there for me and you. And I want to bring you a message on this thought. An open wound. An open wound is the message that comes from this verse of scripture right here. It said, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. This soldier was he was commanded by God Almighty. And I don't believe he was just commanded by God. He was commanded by Jesus Christ. And he was commanded by the Holy Spirit also to go and pierce his side. Even though piercing his side did not kill him. And even them taking the nails and putting it into his palm of his hand, I mean in his wrist on each side, and putting a crown of thorns upon his head, and then putting the nail in his feet down there, that is not what killed him. Even though he stripped, he was hanging there between heaven and earth, and his body was stripped, was stretched out, and he was hanging like this, and his knees was getting awful weak because he couldn't hold up his body, because nothing else was holding up his body but them two nails. Them two nails was holding him up, but he was stretching. Jesus Christ, he gave his life freely. He gave his life freely. They did not take his life. But I also believe, and nobody, I haven't seen it nowhere in Scripture, but this is just me, and if you want to call it John 3 or Donnie 3:16, that'd be fine. But I believe that also the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave up his life there, he also died with a broken heart. He died with a broken heart. Why? Because his disciples wasn't really following him. You had doubting Thomas. You had the big mouth Peter. You had the Zebedee's twins. You had all the others out here. And you even had Judas Iscariot there. And he was the one. He was the one that was serving the devil. He's the one that God had battles with there. And I believe Judas there, I believe he was the devil himself. Because see, he himself sold out Jesus Christ. What did he sell him out for? He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. That's what he sold him out for. And he sold him out for just a little change. Look at how many people today are selling out their soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they selling their soul at? They're selling their soul out to that billboard sign out here. Well, that billboard sign, hey man, that looks mighty nice on that billboard sign. I can go down here and I can get me some cigarettes mighty cheap down here. I can go over here, I can go over town, and I can get this mighty cheap over here. I can go to the ABC store, and I can go in there and get me some alcohol. I can go in there, and they got beer on sale and all that. What people are selling out the soul for this world, and we must not need to sell out our soul for this world, but we are. But that's not the reason that people are really selling out their soul. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe. Because if you believe in God, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And I have people all the time that tell me, yes, I believe in God, but do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? They don't even know what you're talking about then. Well, you cannot believe in one without believing in all three. You cannot do it. It will not happen. But that was, you can drive on the highway from here to South Boston or Norfolk or wherever to Martinsville and Stuart and places around, and you will always see a sign where there's a church. And a whole lot of churches, and I never noticed it until the other week. And I'm not saying that he probably wanted to do it, but he never did, or whatever. But I never noticed a church that did not have a steeple on it. But you can drive from here to here. You can drive anywhere you want to, and you'll pass a church that's got a cross on it somewhere. Even though we may not have a steeple with a cross, but there's a cross right outside. And you can look to the side right there on the porch. There's a cross there. What? That cross represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that is the gospel in itself. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must not get away from that. If we get away from that, then we're going to get into something a little more deeper that we can't understand. But we must get back to what thus says the Word of God. We must get back to what our grandmothers and our great-great grandfathers and everything, and what they had taught us, and what they have left with us. They have left us a legacy that we can look to and we can comprehend on. Why? Because they served back then. They served a God that they loved. And you're here today. You're here today by no accident. You're here today because God wanted you to be here. God wanted you to be here, and God wants you to serve Him. God wants for every one of His children to serve Him faithfully. But we can travel from on Interstate 77, and I've been to Mount Airy, and I've traveled from on 77 in Mount Airy, and go back into down to Worcester-Salem and places like that. But even that little short distance on 77 from Mount Airy back down into Carolina, you can go so far, then you're going to see three crosses. And it wouldn't be a sign of three crosses. You would see three crosses where an individual had took time and had them made. They was made out of metal, and they was painted red. But they wasn't painted red, and it wasn't just put over here on the side of the road or put over there where the bushes would hide them. No, they put them somewhere where they make sure that it wasn't no trees around, where the bushes, the trees would not hide the cross. Why? Because the cross tells us something. The cross tells us that Jesus Christ is still alive and well today. He's living within the heart of the people. And I'll tell you one thing, if He wasn't living in my heart this morning, I wouldn't be here this morning, because I could not trust a God that couldn't keep me, praise God. And I'm not one of these believers out here, and I don't want you to say that, hey, He's one of these believers that can go out here, and yes, He's saved today. Yes, he come to church this morning, preach a good message. He's saved. I know He's saved. He testified to say. And then he get up in the morning, praise God, and I don't feel too good. And I said, well, God, no, I can't go out today. I can't go to the hospital. I can't visit today because I'm sick. No, I'm just tired. I'm not sick. What I'd be doing, I'd be lying to God. No, and if I'm lying to God, and we all do that, if we realize it or not, we lie to God. And the things we must do for Him, the things that what He knows we ought to do. See, He just didn't save me just for me to come to church and sit on a pew. He didn't save you just for you to come to church and sit on a pew. He saved you for a reason, and that reason is to serve Him. That reason is to go out here and tell people what Jesus Christ has done in your life. How many is He blessed this morning? Hey, He's blessed us all, and He will continue to bless us, but we have got to have the assurance that we can just trust Him by faith. And when we do that, we don't have no problem with it. The open wound right here where this soldier pierced his side, what did it bring out? It brought out blood and water. Blood. B-L-O-O-D, blood and water. I believe back then if they had autopsies and like we do today and everything, they could go back and they could have went in and traced, and it would not be no recognition of blood ever in his body at all. Why? Because it would be clean. Why? He didn't shed one drop of blood. Which if that's what he wanted to do, if he wanted to shed just one drop of blood for the whole world, that would have done it, but he didn't do that. Every drop of blood was shed for all of us. And not only that, water came forth. What was the water? What does the water represent? Water represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God that dwelled within the Lord Jesus Christ that day was shed that day where mankind can be able to experience what the Lord Jesus Christ has went in. The water also represents the, I can't pronounce it, the fluid that was right in his heart. Protect his heart. That's what the water represented. The fluid right. And he came forth. And when he came forth, he didn't have no signs of no type of fluids at all in his body. But see, he gave his life. That soldier didn't take his life. See, that soldier, what happened? See, he got irritated. He got irritated with God because, see, he wanted to take, this soldier right here wanted to take the Lord Jesus Christ's life. He wanted to take his life, but what did it say up there right before that? But one of the soldiers but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Why didn't they break his leg? They was going to do everything they could to punish him. No, the only thing they wanted to do, they wanted to put him to death. But you can go back to the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, and it tells you also that in the book of Deuteronomy there, that will not be any bones broken upon the King of Kings. It will not be any bones broken. Why? Because he is God Almighty. Why? Because he is Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that had to come to earth. He's the one that had to give his life. And why did he give his life? He gave his life for his Father. You cannot find nowhere in the Bible, in the Old Testament or the New Testament at all, where the Lord Jesus Christ has ever come up and said that my will be done. No, it was always the Father's will. To be the Father's will. It was always the Father. He wanted to satisfy the Father. And when he was hanging on that cross that day, and right before he gave up his ghost, came perfect. Completely dark. Came completely dark upon all of humanity. It's the only time that there has had been complete darkness during the midday. At 12 o'clock noon, it was dark. Dark for 3 hours. I know we have places over at Alaska and places around the world that, yes, at that time, they're dark, but they're not, that it hasn't been light for a moment and then completely darkness, just like that. It kind of, the evening would come about and the darkness would fade on in. You see, the darkness didn't fade in. It turned light into darkness. Why? Because he could not look upon sin. You said that Jesus Christ had sin on his life? He did for that moment. He did for that moment. He had my sin. I know I never thought of it at that time. I know that I've never been have been birthed into this world, but Jesus Christ and God the Father saw down in time where the Don Mahan would come to life. Don Mahan would exist, and Don Mahan was going to need a Savior, and was going to need a Savior that was spotless. And that's the reason he went to Calvary. He went to Calvary for me. If I was the only individual living, even though my mother gave birth to me, if my father had been dead, and my mother had been dead, and hadn't been here, and I was the only one left on the planet around this world, he still would have went to the cross. He would have still hung on Calvary's cross for me. Why? Because that's the kind of God that we serve. The open wound we see right here where blood flowed that day. Flowed from a cross. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The blood that flowed from the cross that day was for me and you. Because he gave it all up. I don't know how much blood they say we have within our bodies. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you. I don't know if it's a gallon. I don't know if it's a pint. I don't know what it is. He gave every drop, every speck of blood. You say, how can that be? How can that happen? I thought he was God. I thought he was Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world. He is. But how did that happen? It had to come. Why? He was as much God-man as much as he was God. He was just as much man. He was God-man. He was man in recognizing the people that he was around. His blood paid the ultimate price. His blood covered the blackness of our sin. His blood can recondition our lives. His blood can make us complete in him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The open wound where blood flowed from Calvary. The open wound flows light from Calvary. When he gave up the ghost, complete darkness. But when he took him off for the cross, and they took him to the barred tomb, he was resurrected on the third day. That brought back light to the individuals there. His mother and the others went to see him that day when he was buried. The third day. They went in and the soldiers was all around and everything. And I can imagine the soldiers coming by and checking the tomb out that day and saw the stone rolled away. They was doing the same thing that the guard was doing with Paul and Silas when Paul and Silas was in jail. And when the earthquake came and it shook the jail doors off of the hinges and it shook the shackles off of Paul and Silas's feet and the shackles that were where they were shackled with their hands, their wrists, and their arms were shackled to the wall there. It come forth and out. They just opened up and where they come forth. What did the guard then do? The guard went and he come running because he knew even when all the others had got out and everything and some of the others had escaped. But they knew if Paul and Silas had escaped, they knew that they was going to die. They was going to die. So Paul says, do no harm to thyself. For you and your household. For you and your household will be saved. Just like he did in Luke chapter 19. Speaking about Zacchaeus. What did he say to Zacchaeus? He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Old sycamore tree. Go ahead and find a sycamore tree out here today. It don't have hardly any bark on it. I wonder why. See old sycamore. Zacchaeus, when he was up in that tree, and he wasn't just on the bottom of the limb. He was up there, up out of it. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was and who and this man that everybody was talking about. And this man was all these people was following. He wanted to know them. So he climbed. It doesn't say he said he climbed up the sycamore tree. I believe he climbed to the top because he wanted to see Jesus, who this man that people was talking about, the Messiah, going around healing people, going around raising the dead and healing the blind. When he came down, he wanted the top of that sycamore tree there. And he had his hands up here and he looking down where he gets his foot land on one limb, then come on down, rip his step down, get his foot land on another limb. No, what did he do? He come and he slid down. He slid down and he brought all the bark with him. All the bark was off of this sycamore tree that day, and what did Jesus say unto him? Go to your house. What happened? When Jesus shows up, something happened. You have never seen a funeral in the Word of God where Jesus was at. Never had a funeral where Jesus was at. Why? Because see, when Jesus came around, the dead sat up. They raised up. Why? He didn't even have to speak. All he had to do was just show up.
And that's all he has to do today in his services. Just show up. Make yourself known. Make yourself present. And how do we know if he shows up? When the people is in the congregation, and when the preacher gets to preaching, and when the teacher gets to teaching God's word, and when the Holy Spirit moves upon the people, and when he starts speaking to them, and we need to just say, hallelujah, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't mind shouting. I don't mind telling people about Jesus. I don't mind telling people that I love my Lord and my Savior. And if they don't like it, fine. They can get around somewhere else. I mean, there's other places in Danville that they can shop at. If I'm in Lowe's and if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me, and hallelujah, I'm going to shout, so praise God. If they don't like it, they can just leave Lowe's and go to Home Depot. Or go somewhere else. But they're not going to. That's the thing about the world wants to keep us quiet. The world wants to keep us quiet. And I know the world today wants to keep us quiet at the workplace. But you know something? They make it keep us quiet, keep our lips from moving. People today are hurt, and they don't know who to go to. They really don't. They don't know who to go to. They know that they go to the doctors. Doctors can't help them. They know if they go over here, they can't help them. They need to go to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can help any of us. We need to trust him more and more by faith. We need to trust him with that little grain of mustard seed. The open wound flowed death from the cross. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He humbled himself before Almighty God. And he gave his life for you and me. I want to ask you a question in closing. Do you really believe that he gave his life? He greatly gave his life. He freely gave his life for our children, for our grandchildren. We need to let people know that Jesus freely gave his life for us. You'd be surprised if people like you, they don't realize what Jesus really gave us. He gave his life. I want to ask you something. Would you be willing to go the extra mile for Jesus? Would you be willing to do what Jesus done for you? I have a daughter at home. She's in church this morning. I would hope and I would pray if it become between me in her, I hope and pray that I can say, if a robber happened to come in my house, you can take my life. Leave her. We don't know until we get in a situation. We've never been put in that situation. You know why? We love life too much. Jesus loved life too.
Jesus loved life down here on this earth also, because he was doing exactly what the Father wanted him to do. Can we say that we would do that? Can we say that we'll do whatever the Father wants us to do? Can we say, yes, I'll go visit them people I know that they talk about me. I know they don't like me. I know they despise me. Are we willing to go to them just because of the way they feel towards us? Hey, we need to go to them and tell them about Jesus. I can remember one time when I was once working. I don't know if I told you or not, but if I have, I'm probably have to, I'm gonna repeat it. I was working at this particular job, and the owner of the company come, and which I wasn't the only one he'd done it to, but he'd been doing it for the last 3 or 4 weeks before me. He'd go home and he'd eat lunch. And he'd say he'd get on the couch and lay down a little bit. And he'd pray. I think really the man was a Christian. I really do. But I believe that he should give his business up a few years earlier, because I think maybe he was having dementia. I don't know. It had to be because of things he was saying. But he just come back and he started just randomly just calling people to the office and finding them on the spot. He didn't really give them no excuse for it. The only excuse that he could come up with, he said he was at home and he was at lunch. Said he was praying and laid down and got up, come back to work. And on the way back to work, he says, God spoke to him about firing. That was a salesman. The first one he got rid of was a salesman. The second one was the general manager. Then the third one was a parts assistant. He said, God told every last one the same thing. He said, God told me to fire you. Then on a Friday afternoon, he called me to the office. Told me the same thing. Then he went home to lunch and ate lunch. And then laid down on the couch and got up and started praying and everything and coming back to work. He said, God spoke to him and told him, come back and fire him. That's all he told me. He couldn't come up with no other reason. See, he had to put it off on somebody. And he was trying to justify himself by saying he prayed about it. And God spoke to him. 3 weeks later, I believe it was, I was well, when I went home that evening, my wife, she knew exactly what happened. I hadn't told her, hadn't called her, nothing. And I didn't come in the house with my mouth wide open, with a frown on my face, or tears in my eyes, or nothing like that. As soon as I walked in the house, she said, something's wrong. Now, they called him. I hadn't said anything to him. 3 weeks later, I went to the bank to try to get everything in order, some bills that I was going to have to pay, see if I couldn't get them to where maybe we could work around some of it, the interest and all of that. But as I walked into the building, it was Virginia Bank in trouble. He was coming out of the president's office.
He was walking down there, standing in the middle of the floor that I don't believe he saw. And it ended with the bone on shore. Whatever wood that I was going to see was right up, was rough off the way out they got there. He was right across the field, maybe it was way off that. So I couldn't bring the moon back to that. him and said, I will fight. Can you imagine that I said, well, 90% of what you got belongs to me. Now, you're going to have to do what you have to on the other 10%. Well, see, even though if you put it that way, you said, 90% belongs to me. But you got to God comes back and he double blesses us. And I know he blessed this church. He blessed this church and through the years. He's blessed the people here. And I know it may not
look like
much here because we
don't have that many people here. But I'm going to tell you what, when you have God in his service, when you don't have just two or three people, you got the majority of the people that you need. Because you've got the people and you've got God.
And that's who I want. I want God to be in our service. I don't want
God to be standing outside these doors, and I don't want to be left knocking. Open the door, I want to come in.
That's the day and time that we're living in, the labor we see in church.
Within their own lives and within their family.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, and what you're going to do today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.
Page 248. You come as the Lord leads. The Lord spoke to your heart about anything and all.